Joe presents Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby, together with Guinness.
Hello and you're very welcome to Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby here on Joe Together with Guinness. We are delighted to have David O'Doherty joining us on the couch from the get-go.
I have listened to the podcast quite a friend. I'm not a friend of the podcast, but a long-time listener. But I've only ever listened to it, so I didn't know there was a visual element, I'll be honest. So I was cycling. I went for a cycle and dropped in here. And I've left it all to the listeners. I've left all the gear on. Like, there's no point in it. I couldn't, like, make this half look like... I've got, if you can see, I've got the shoes with the cleats in the bottom of them there.
I thought they were beer bottle openers. So.
I thought they were rollies.
So it's a delight to be here on the PCAST. Rollies. No, yes. Those ones. Mm. Where you think children are ghosts. Yeah, when they're going through Little in them. Yeah.
Did you pick up all this in Little? Is that Little gear?
How dare you? No, cycling is very much my thing. Like, why I am an expert on rugby, but cycling. No, I mean, I am intrigued as to how I've ended up doing this. How far down your Rolodex did you have to go to get who we get to talk about Ireland against Scotland? Like, am I, like, Morris Field can't do it. Jim Staples can't do it. I'm going down and down. Yeah, yeah. Phil Danaher can't do it. Who's that? Oh, O'Doherty. Yeah, he'll come in. So, yeah, what you want to know goes...
Yeah, well, we felt like the nation took such a blow last week. We were lost after what happened.
It didn't get much better this weekend. It was so I was in Belfast. Uh-huh. Yeah. I was up there doing shows, and I went to a bar that wasn't necessarily a rugby centric bar, but they put it on a telly for me, and I ordered coffee. And he said, we don't do coffee, but we'll do you one. And I got coffee in a pint glass. They put instant coffee and boiling water into a pint glass. Oh, wow. And I was sat in the corner drinking a pint of coffee on my own while Ireland and Scotland played out on a tiny screen.
Oh, such levels of service.
Yeah.
That's Belfast. That's for you. You're gigging in Belfast a lot, though.
Well, I'll travel around a good bit. I like gigging there. It's fun. And a lot of animals have escaped from the zoo there recently. There's been three separate escapes in the last couple of years. A man stole a penguin.
Yeah.
A red panda, which is like a crap panda. It's like you think it's going to be a panda, and then it's basically a squirrel.
It's like a squirrel. Yeah.
It's a squirrel. And then chimps built. This is the other day. Chimps built a ladder. Did you see that?
So,
I mean, we'll get on to the match in a second, listeners, but this is much more important. So with the storm the other day, branches fell into their enclosure and they fashioned a rudimentary sort of ladder escape pod, and they climbed out. And yeah, they were at large. Zoo precinct. Well, you'd be worried they might rip someone's face off.
Yeah.
But no, they didn't, like, I guess the fear would be that they'd put on civilian clothes and, like, get a job or something like that.
On each other's shoulders.
Yeah. Maybe get a game for Ireland if the worst comes to the worst.
Ooh.
You know, in a, I mean, I'm going to say, like, as an open side, something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, get hands in the ruck with the long arms.
Because
you've got very long arms, I've heard it said, but I have short legs. I have incredibly short legs.
Okay.
So if you were to put our two halves together,
it just wouldn't work.
Or it would be a chimp, basically. They could put us in Belfast Zoo if they needed to sew us together, Andrew.
Well, if things get really desperate in Belfast and... they're not selling enough coffees, or they're struggling economically. Pints of coffee.
Yeah.
Then they could go down that route. That's desperation stakes, isn't it?
So I've got some rule changes with rugby. We'll move on to that in a minute. I want to bring in.
Yeah.
But my question to you, and I realize I'm reversing the thing. So we were effectively beaten by a load of powerful fat men by England. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Which, so it was reminiscent of Munster. They lost that semi. Did they lose the semi to Saracens or maybe to Toulon or someone a couple of years ago?
Yeah.
Where it was just like, oh, these lads are bigger. It was like the under 13s against the under 11s kind of thing.
Yeah.
So So if England keep all those fat men fit, the Vunipolas and the centre, what do we do? Like, what, you have to run up and tackle them before they get.
We haven't got enough time to get fat before the end of the Six Nations. I think if we get to work straight away, we can get fat enough for the World Cup.
But isn't that mistake? Like in 2007, do you remember O'Driscoll got fat?
Yeah,
and then he wasn't the potent force. So there's a level of optimum fatness, which is what I'm searching for at the moment. Did you ever have a fat period?
This is probably the fattest I've been.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I'd naturally be quite skinny.
Barry, what was the fat?
I'd be naturally very thin.
Would you
scrawny.
Really?
Scrawny, yeah. Like, I was about 10 stone when I started professional rugby. I used to be killed.
Wow.
Yeah, it was...
It's my dream.
Yeah, you reckon just...
Being killed.
Terrible. I remember...
Maybe someday.
Remember, we used to have to... Like, I used to drink a gallon of water going into weights every morning because you'd be weighed in and if you were... below a certain amount, you'd be abused. Yeah.
You'd be all swollen,
You should have worn these shoes because they've got they're quite heavy then. Yeah. That would have given you a few more pounds.
It was all the rage back when professional rugby just came in. It was like, you need to be enormous. Whereas now, okay, the English players are getting quite fat and huge, but the All Blacks seem to be going the opposite way. They're getting smaller and quicker.
Got
and
massive second rows. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, I like that line that they're actually quite small, but then, like, if you happen to walk past one of them, you're like, James Lowe, for example, is enormous. Yeah. Like, he is
powerful.
A powerfully large man.
Mm.
You know, you wouldn't mistake him for a...
What am I right in saying that you were this size when you were a teenager? Did I hear you say that before?
How dare you? I basically...
So you were a big schools rugby player?
I was a winger, fullback, out half centre, utility, I would call myself. And I was I was probably a footballer that was playing rugby.
Yeah.
Just in that my shorts were notoriously clean a lot of the time after matches. But yeah, I think they thought, because I was this size when I was about 12, maybe not this size, but close enough to it.
Yeah.
And I think they thought, wow, this guy is going to be,
we'll
keep an eye on this guy.
There was one guy in every year, wasn't there?
Yeah, but the sad fact is, I've just cycled here on the bike that I got for my 12th birthday. I was here because I was really into cycling then, and I got like the best bike then, and it's still going. So I haven't, literally haven't budged since then.
That would have been before. Cycling has only kind of come cool in the last few years, though. You were ahead of your time.
Cycling was always pretty cool because in 87... Ireland had the number one and number two, Roach and Kelly, in the world. So that would have been the era where I jumped on. Also, the rugby team were none too hot.
There was no alternative.
I had a triple crown, I think, that year as well.
85.
85, was it?
Yeah.
We two in the 80s.
Yeah, and then and then 88 was the football then. Football. So I was, moving between one and the other. Okay. Cycling was the one that I probably fancied myself at the most. I was quite good at triple jumping as well. But the cycling fitness didn't cross over into the rugby at all. Like, I was really fit on a bike. I raced for a team for a couple of years, and then I would come last in five laps around a pitch.
Oh, shit.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You were more of an explosive athlete.
Well, the tragedy of my era, and I don't mean to go down memory lane here, was that looming over my era of rugby was Dennis Hickey, who was the All-Ireland 100 and 200 metres champion, I think at under 15 and under 18 when he was 13. And so you were constantly comparing yourself to him.
Yeah.
And he would just run around whatever was in front of him. It was no issue whatsoever. Yeah. And then he was playing for Ireland like two or 3 years later 19. Then.
Didn't you beat him in a schools cup final though? Would that be correct?
I don't like to talk about that, but yes, I did. I think he had food poisoning, and this is not a South Africa All Blacks whenever that one was situation. I did not try and poison Dennis Hickey, but nonetheless, he was poisoned and he played. And it was a sad sight. Yeah, it was full hair Dennis Hickey. I have the video and that I send to him bite-size WhatsApps of sometimes.
Regularly.
And he had the full curtains haircut. Vaselined down to keep that perfect center bar there. And it would normally bob up and down, you know, when he was running very fast. But you could just tell the flow wasn't quite there because he'd been up all night pooping himself.
Wow. That was like, I remember playing against Prez or Christians in Cork or any Black Rock teams. And there was always those guys that went on to international, like at 2 or 3 years later. Doesn't really happen anymore. But you'd like, you'd look Raj, O'Driscoll, Paulie, these lads who just at that age were 14, 15.
Yeah.
Does it happen like that anymore? Lads come out of school and go...
Larmer, yeah. I guess, is a bit like that. Porter is a little bit like that. They're in the same school as well.
Michael's as well. Was that your school?
I went there.
Michael's lads?
Yeah, no, they're Andrews. Okay. Yeah. It's in sports books. This is one thing I feel is glossed over a lot. Mm-hmm. What I really want to know, you won all these things, but I want the account of how much better you were when you were 14.
Yeah.
I can remember with Michael Owen, he used to score like 6 goals a match.
Wayne Rooney.
They just kept pushing him up through the era. Yeah, mm-hmm. There's Laurent Fignon is one of my favourite cyclists. And there's a great tale in his book about how he thought he'd have a go in a race. So he borrowed his dad's bike and it had mud guards and everything on it. And everyone is laughing at him. And then as the race starts, he just cycles away from everyone. And he stops up the road and waits for them to catch up. And so he goes again and he wins by miles. And at the finishing line, he's crying because he's like, sorry, I don't know the rules. And there, someone hugs him and is like, you are the greatest French cyclist ever. So that's what I want from your impending sports books.
Yeah, maybe it takes like your father to be a superstar who then puts all his energy into his kid and forces him like Tiger Woods.
Like that. So you have that though?
No, not really.
Yeah.
My dad would like pair us off against each other. Like my brother was twice the size of me, so my dad would make me tackle him in the garden and just beat the shit out of me, basically. So that was how
Horgans
I learned to tackle.
Did that. I mean, the Horgans, I think, are one of the most interesting. It's the crossover between comedy and sport. Because like Sharon Horgan and Shane Horgan, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
How did they come out of the same thing? And you know,
they had one-on-ones in the garden, did they?
Yeah. Well, they're a turkey farming family. Uh-huh. So I always imagine this turkeys involved in it as well. Yeah. They release the turkeys and she's cracking wise at the turkeys and he's trying to run around the outside of them then. Yeah.
Yeah. So did you go to the game in Scotland?
I was over with Vodafone it was a bit of a corporate thing and it was nice fun.
Suckling on the corporate.
I was.
How did it taste?
It was delicious.
It was delicious,
All weekend. A little bit sickening by the end, but delicious at the start.
You're full.
Yeah. It took me back to another time, like that second half in particular. Yeah. It took me back to, I'd say, 95. Remember that era of Ireland performance? Particularly Ireland-Scotland was always a fairly turgid affair.
Yeah.
Like Bill McLaren would be doing his very best to make this rubbish sound interesting.
Yeah.
And
What we could have done with it. That's exactly what we could have done with it the weekend.
A commentator that wasn't going like, oh dear.
I remember I had to commentate on a Munster match when I was injured once and it was so shite that I decided to do all the quotes from Jonah Loma Rugby, from Bill and what was the other guy's name? The English guy.
Oh, Eddie Butler.
No, he was like the co-commentator.
Not Brian Moore.
No, God, I can't remember.
What, like a
second row English older guy? Bill. He was like a.
Bill Beaumont.
Bill Beaumont.
Yeah.
He was the other co-commentator on Jonah Loma Rugby and it was like, Dennis Leamy going in like a demented mole there. or you need a key to unlock that defence and all this kind of. I think it was Limerick's Live 95 FM. There was probably 10 people listening. But that's what do we lack that little bit of character in the
commentary
now that.
I don't know. I do sort of like it sometimes, you know, when I'm very lonely and come home late after a gig, I will put on Treviso versus the Dragons or something in front of 300 people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? On a weekend of another match.
Yeah.
And I sort of do like it when the commentators are like, this is awful.
Like, it must be, if your gig didn't go well, that would cheer you up. You're like, listen, last night wasn't ideal, but at least I'm not playing for Treviso away to the Dragons at Rodney Parade.
Yeah. I watched 101 Great Tries recently. I fired up my video player. And I have the VHS of it. Yeah. And it's everyone does this. They pass and step in like that. And they go out. And they're nearly all, it just goes to the winger. And the winger is fast and bold, usually.
Yeah.
There's a lot more bold men playing in that era.
The defense was very poor. The defense often thought, well, his hips are going that way. Yeah. Obviously, he's passing that direction. I think I'm going to follow his hips.
That's what Joe Schmidt brought to Ireland. He was like, don't look at the hips. Look, see where the ball is going.
Snake hips.
The hips are lying to you.
Shakira.
Yeah.
That's why she got all those caps for Colombia.
But it wasn't a great game, let's be honest.
First half is okay.
Yeah.
Second half,
I think Rob Kearney is the happiest man alive, I'd say, in Ireland at the moment.
I'd say
he just
so.
Waltzed back into the team after being dropped last week and made a few yards. I think he made 80 metres or something, a few breaks. And now he's just, you could see him in the post-match interviews, just like, you could see it in his eyes. He's like, yeah. I am the saviour.
Back from the dead.
Yeah, yeah.
So do you think this could be, like, I watched the England match then as well, and in that Ireland match. So we play with so many people up in a line, and then with someone, Conor Murray, usually looking for little chips, and then Rob Kearney looking for big chips at the back. But sometimes we don't even have Conor Murray looking for little chips.
Yeah,
I'm noticing a lot of chips.
Yes,
a
lot of loads, isn't it?
A lot of people just dinking it over the top then. Because, I guess, Rob Kearney, or whoever the fullback is, has got all of this massive... So do you think this could be the ear? Like, I think that might have been one of the things that England figured out then.
Yeah, but... And then did you notice then Stockdale and Earls were both sitting off their centres a little bit more and trying to help Kearney with the backfield a little bit more? Murray, he kind of gets in the front line quite a bit.
Yeah.
Just to fill it out a little bit, because he's obviously... like very good defensively, and then the wingers are just sitting off and helping Kearney.
Yeah.
But in helping Kearney a little bit more, they were kind of sinking Chris Farrell at centre a little bit.
Yeah,
because he had to sit down, and then it just looked like he got stuck.
Yeah, right. I caught a couple of times. Yeah. out wide with that. But I think you're right. England, I think scored 4 tries off chips through last week.
Yeah,
yesterday we scored, albeit a mistake by Scotland, and then England scored a couple against us last week off the same. So
France were racking their brains. What are we doing wrong here? Why can we not sort this out? God.
But they're like,
France were like that team that show up to an under-12s match that have like only 13 players and one of your subs has to go play with them. The shy guy that's on your team has to go. You're like, was that ever you? You ever that guy had to go play with the opposition?
But they're pretty amazing individually. Like, I can imagine there aren't many players on that, maybe some of the second rows and the back row, where you'd be like, yeah, you're grand. But I love all those backs.
Yeah.
Like, individually, they're all capable of doing pretty styly stuff.
Mm.
But then they... Like, is it just they don't have system? Are there systems? Yeah, is the coach...
That's exactly what
from
it is.
The 80s? I know the coach is an old guy, but, like, do you think there's just new stuff has come in?
The French coach is always... They always look like they're at some sort of an EU summit or something, don't they? When they're up in the crowd. Right, like you look at Martin Johnson or somebody who's like, that's a rugby player in the English. Then it goes to the French one and it's like they're in Brussels or something like that, you know? So, yeah, I don't know what they do because they have no system. Like if you see how England score tries, they score tries off those chips through. They've obviously done huge homework on looking for space. They score tries off that. Spot play out the back.
Yeah.
So I'm first receiver. I've got someone running hard on my hit line, and then I've got Sexton out the back, or in England's case, they've got Farrell, and then they'll probably do the same thing, which is in world rugby, that's how teams are scoring the majority of tries these days.
Right, yeah.
And France refuse to play that style of rugby.
They're determined just to rely on we've got flair, we've got natural ability, let's go out there and jouer and see what happens. It's a little bit like the French cyclists. They're like all living off each other, just like go with each other on a break and stuff, and then Team Sky come along and say, you know what, there's actually quite a lot of science behind this, and we're just going to beat you relentlessly for years.
So, but do you think... Okay, sorry, I know we have to talk about Ireland, but no. I've got a couple of questions mm-hmm. I need to get out. So if Joe Schmidt took over France, mm-hmm. okay, with all their millions of players, mm. do you think he could...
It's a cultural thing, right? Within
is it? But surely everyone loves winning. You know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe. It's hard. Like, you're right. France have something like 500,000 rugby players yeah. within the country. I think they've doubled what any other country in the world has.
Right, yeah.
But they all believe in this, yeah. apparently, this UA style of rugby. Like, you look at the clubs over there and they still play the same as the national teams. But I suppose the club teams have, they're scattered with brilliant pros from other countries as
yeah,
well.
That yeah, kind of bring up I know, the standard. Yeah. And they're that strange mixture of sort of huge fat men
yeah.
and then tiny, tiny little men.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which I think is maybe you need more of a balance in this day. I know this is quite technical, guys, yeah. but maybe you need not, you know, because I always loved Dominici and yeah. Saint-André and those guys. But then they were always combined with Olivier Merle or these.
We spoke about him last week. What a.
Beast. Yeah, yeah. Well, what a nasty man.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So Ireland were a little bit better, though. Or were they
yeah.
definitely were.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
They were way better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't say way better.
They were.
I think they were. We won.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was, if there was ever a win's a win, I think that was it, you know.
Yeah.
The whole mentality thing has been really interesting, how so much focus has gone on that, whether they could get up for the game, which I think is bizarre for me. You've been there. We've never played Six Nations, so...
Sorry, I once had a training session with the Ireland youths, so I do understand.
Youths.
Yeah, yeah, so it was...
Sound like they're thugs or something.
So I was... Guys, it was a serious team. Yeah. It was for country people.
It was, yeah.
And because when I was 18, I think I had another year of being on... on schoolboy, but yeah. I'd left school,
okay,
so that
yeah.
was, and that was intelligent. and yeah, so I went to a session once for Ireland youths.
And how'd you get
was
on?
Called in? I got there, and it was in Tullamore, and I borrowed my mother's car and driven there on a provisional license, illegal now, and got there, and I was like, they were like, oh yeah, what? Where are you from? And I was like, oh yeah, I've left school, I'm in college. And they're like, no, you shouldn't be here. And so they gave me the training jersey and I drove back again. So I never know what happened at that very high level.
Yeah, but they were always looked down on, weren't they, the youths?
Guys, I've tasted the big time.
It does sound like they're delinquents.
Yeah.
They're up to no good. You look like you were kind of, you had it all together. So you're like, you're not training with these guys. Yeah. They'll be too much of a bad influence on you. Yeah, take your jersey and go
enough,
home.
You're not country enough.
So. Guys and runners. Yeah, that's yeah. That's what you want from it. Yeah.
Forgot my boots. Dad, remember that when you forget your boots? Playing your runners. What were we talking about there?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
I'm
ruining the podcast.
No, I think we're getting through it.
I'm now going to analyse the performance.
Yeah.
The forwards were better, but I'm going to change the... I'm sick of rooks. Mm-hmm. That's... I want to return to... I'm sick of... people bending over and people hitting them. No, yeah. all that challenging.
Right.
I'm going right back to placing the ball. So you have to put it. You have to put it down when you're tackled.
Mm.
Straight back yes. like that. And then now the problem with that was
then you protect your head.
There was a Wild West era.
Yeah, fuck the ball.
Yeah, there's footage of a I think it's a South Africa Wales match from about 1997, which they think that the rugby people must have looked at and gone, "Now we need to change this," because just lots of people jumping on people's heads
yeah.
as everyone just places it back and goes yeah. like that. But the thing at the moment where you get over and then people whack you. I mean,
it's not pretty. No,
this is long term after the World Cup. I want that. Cool. Want that out.
There was actually a stamp at the weekend. Someone stood on Peter Manning's arm, which
oh yeah,
the first stamp. I was.
Oh yeah.
Everyone was like, oh
yeah.
Even Peter Manning.
Do you remember
was like,
stamping?
Yeah. Yeah. Did you ever get stamped?
Do you remember? Oh yeah. Do you remember getting a shoeing? Like
yeah, but I don't remember like a stamping incident because it was probably just so common. Just getting stamped every time.
Someone stood in my head. Ospreys, one of the, remember those second rows from Australia? Cobain, was it, or something like that? those lads. Yeah. He stood on my head, man. He was sticking outside of a rock, and he just planted his foot on it.
He should have
intentionally. Should have worn one of these bad boys. Well, I wanted to wear a scrum cap, right, back then.
Oh, no.
I used to get,
man.
I used to get concussions quite a bit, but an agent I had at the time told me that you're not to wear a scrum cap because you won't get much. You won't be
babes.
Noticed. Yeah,
really,
you won't be noticed because, you know, people, you just blend in or something like that. That's what he was saying to me. I was like,
it's bad for your brand.
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, what? I remember thinking, what if I got like Batman ears or something that made it stand out? Use it to my strength and a cape.
You look like a medieval turnip farmer, I always think. You know, in Game of Thrones type shows where they just show the regular people, you know, then they're holding dirty vegetables like this. They're nearly always wearing scrum caps then.
With Batman ears.
So the forwards, that was fine.
Mm-hmm.
The other law change. Sorry, I want is I think we might get rid of jumping from wingers and stuff.
Mm. Where to watch.
You just have to stand like because that was the old thing. Now the problem with that was you would stand there and then you'd just get whacked the moment you caught the thing.
Yeah. Which is fine. Because at least you're not falling from the height.
Yeah, but then the problem was someone would just come in and be like that over you. Like, there was a slight ambiguity as regards you standing there. Mm. But yeah, it was. Because, you know, you just used to get, when you were full back, you'd just be like, oh, he's about to get absolutely milled. But it's probably better than...
You think we're waiting for a... Or it's only a matter of time before we see a serious injury from...
Well, not even from an injury point of view, from a... gameplay point of view.
You're talking entertainment, not injuries here.
Yeah, there's a lot of tapping, and there's nearly always a knock on, and then in the and the ref goes play on, and we just keep going. But like
that is like a corporate entertainment conversation there. I mean, whatever about these 30 individuals running around playing rugby and looking after their health. I just want to be entertained immediately. I've paid good money to have a good laugh here.
Yeah, I was at a AFL match in Australia last year, and different things are sponsored, different aspects of the game. So it'll be like killer points sponsored by Harvey Norman or whatever it is.
Right.
And then one thing was like big hits sponsored by Vicks, you know, tape decks or whatever. And they would literally, it'd be someone jumping up like that and someone would just be like, poof. And then the logo for the sponsor would come up. And meantime, there'd be an ambulance on the pitch taking them off. Like, this 6 months out is brought to you.
Yeah, that's unsavory. We don't want to see that.
I got a free mattress for opening a Harvey Norman back in the day.
What?
Free. Still have it. Temple mattress.
Really?
Did you cut a tape? Amazing. I cut the tape, yeah. And there was a guy, an Aussie guy. I think he might have been the guy that did all the ads. He was like, you're going to get 20% off all your stuff for life. And I was like, for life? And he was like, yeah. And he was like, yeah. I was like, cool. So Harvey Norman went through the shit then a little bit. Or we all did.
Wow. You know,
two or three years later. And I went back and I was trying to buy a new suite of furniture. I was like, where's that Aussie guy that was promising me 20%? And they're like, he's gone.
Can you remember the speech? Because you would have had to deliver a little speech as you cut it.
Go.
No. I feel, you could have gone with like, when I'm on the field, I would like a mattress this soft under me. You know what I mean? Yeah, something like that would have been really good. Then maybe you would have got you'd still be on your 20% off.
Okay, if anyone out there wants us to get behind their mattresses or...
I did buy one a few weeks ago.
Did you?
Oh my
God. Sad. Really, yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Was it a Tempa one? Is that what they're called?
Well, I think we're getting sidetracked now, but we'll keep going. So my good lady moves around a lot. So I've gone for a policy of let's just get as far apart as possible by buying...
two beds.
Six. The next door house. And
she lives in Spain.
Johnny Sexton got whacked again. But he sort of has to do that, doesn't he, for those moves to work then?
I think that's the best part of his game. He commits players. If he didn't commit, whoever it was. Who was it, Pat?
Alan Dell.
I felt like that was like Mortal Kombat, and his Johnny's health was like right down to that. And then someone just shouted, "Finish him!" Yeah. And Alan Dell just like uppercutted him, and Johnny missed the bridge on the way back down and hit the spikes at the bottom.
Laughing at the misfortune of these players.
Sorry, Johnny Sexton. The acting, I will say this, coming from an arts point of view, Stockdale did actual acting in that. Yeah, so in that play,
Hiding.
Stockdale's go. Yeah, but he's sort of like this. He's like, and then he went that way.
He guided me around the ref.
It was really good.
It was.
Because even watching it in slow mo afterwards, you're like, nah, it can't be him. Mm. And then, like, that was very good.
It's a nice play, wasn't it?
Yeah, so good.
I'd imagine Joe was just watching that going, easy, done it again.
Yeah, because we tried that. We obviously have a bunch of plays where someone does a switch with someone else who does another switch.
Murray switches. Did. Yeah, switches. There was another one off of Scrum, was there?
Yeah, but I guess the problem is you've got to try and get the fat lads on board with that.
Yeah,
because they all come up out of their rooks or whatever.
Yeah,
and they're
Pete O'Mahony did the switch. I did the original switch.
The one for Sexton.
The initial one for Sexton. Yeah,
right. Yeah,
so they do get them involved, and that's one of Arden's strengths, though, is that they get the forwards have to be brutish, but then they got to be able to play. We win matches when we beat the All Blacks. It was from our forwards passing the ball, giving off loads, getting involved in those kind of little funky plays.
Yeah, you would be cherry picking what forward would be doing that, though.
I don't, like, if you watch the All Blacks game, Toner was thrown off loads, CJ was, Van der Fleer, they were all getting involved, lads that you wouldn't normally, like CJ and Toner would normally be guys that would pass the ball for that game. And that's what it takes to beat the All Blacks or to beat England, and that's why I think we didn't do as well last week against England, is because we didn't have that aspect to our game and that variety from everyone on the field.
Yeah, we were just taking traffic the whole time, weren't we?
Which is easy when they're big fat lads, you're saying, you're running into them, they'd be like, yes, nom nom nom, eating them up. Feed me. Taking bites out of Toner.
So I liked that. So was Murray, do you remember against the All Blacks, we were doing those 15-meter kicks?
Yeah.
Okay, he would. Now, has everyone just sussed that? And so they put people just going like this, so our runners can't go up. Is that why? Do you think people have just worked that? Because my fear is, as we get close to the World Cup, things evolve and people figure things out. Mm-hmm. And things that were very effective a year ago maybe aren't as effective because everyone's swatting away with their iPads.
Murray seems to be doing that less as well. And when we do it, it's slightly less successful.
Yeah.
These guys are getting escorted away and it's more difficult to get there and compete. And when they exit off restarts as well, Murray seems to be kicking straight to touch, which I don't know what the reason for that is. But they've done it a few times, so it's obviously definite.
You worked with Joe, so apparently he prescribes everything. So if they, from the kickoff, the last two games, Murray's taken the option to kick the ball either to touch, or the weekend he went long with a pretty kind of poor kick. And they ran it back, and we, off the kick then, we had a terrible D-line. Our chase was poor, so our defensive setup was poor, and then we're on the back foot immediately. And then against England, we put it into touch. They had a line out,
went quick,
and we weren't organised, so we're on the back foot again. Then if you watch the All Blacks game, we take a couple of runners, set our stall out, and then we've got three chasers on the blind and two on the open, and we chase a kick and we get a return off it. And that's how we got on top in the first 20 minutes against the All Blacks.
There's definitely a reason, because it's not just Murray's just decided. He's definitely been told. There's definitely a tactical reason for it.
Do you think we're playing drafts and Joe's playing chess? And Joe's like, let's hold all that back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. With our crowners,
I think he might have done that in the past. I don't know. You were there. Like, he's against Italy a few years ago. Went out and played shite and played that kind of really reserved, kind of no offloads, poor kicking game and stuff. And then the following weekend went out and played against France in the Aviva and threw the ball around from or on 22 and blew them off the park. I don't know if he played that game, but
I can't remember.
Would that be a tactic of his? Like it's a good point. Like, is he playing? Is he two steps ahead?
He's playing
of everyone?
A long game.
Yeah,
yeah.
Is that a?
Yeah, it could be.
Or would he let you in on it? Don't tell the players.
Don't tell Trimby.
Do you think?
There was a meeting with the 14 players, and I was like, "Where's everyone? Looking in the window."
Like, tactically, do you think we definitely are trying stuff before the World Cup?
I think if we're the same team, even like from the autumn and into those first two games, Six Nations, if we're the same team in come the World Cup that we are now, it won't be good enough.
Yeah,
by a good bit, I would have thought. Because look at the improvement from England, and they'll continue to improve to the World Cup. You would have thought. So yeah, we do have to try and differentiate what we're doing, or come up with something sharp. I mean, the play at the Stock deal, that was fairly new, was it
not? Yeah.
I think I've seen that before.
Right, yeah. Would you say he looks at YouTubes of Crusaders and Chiefs matches, or even lower league matches than that? Like, is the cool stuff still all coming from New Zealand as regards sweet plays and all of that?
Yeah, I wonder if he looks at rubbish schools teams. Because we were quite creative in school. We did we called this play Jordan, because it was a double D, a double dummy. Actually, I think it was a triple. The 10 goes dummy switch 12, dummy switch 13, dummy switch 15.
Oh, wow.
And goes himself. Needless to say, Tam's our best player. So just hold on to it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was always a thing in schoolboy rugby, of a team that had the amazing player.
Yeah.
Like, I remember once we played against Wesley, who had Eric Miller, who, like, 2 years later, 3 years later, was on the Lions, on that 97 Lions. Mm. And it was a 5 metre scrum, and he was the number 8.
Yeah.
And it was like, is going to take it off the back.
Let's cut out the middleman here, will we? There's no need for this scrum.
Yeah. So 13 of us just ran up and formed a circle around him. And my thought as regards that with England is, if England lose one of those number 8 Funapola, for example, I think that really, like, the thing at the moment is Tulagi is doing, and you know, a lot of the stuff is the two of them taking it up to Waxville. Mm-hmm. But one of them's going to get injured, and then they bring in Billy 12 Trees or someone. And they're a very different team then.
It's very true.
I mean we do have, like, Farrell was pretty good, I think. Mm-hmm. So our Farrell.
Yeah.
So we do, it's not that situation where we do have big tubbers who whack it up, and they will get injured probably in the World Cup with all those matches.
Mm-hmm.
But we have people, I feel, who can be pretty much as good in those key positions, whereas I'm not sure they have it. Yeah. Like, they're all guns blazing at the moment, but it only takes one of them. This is my analysis.
So it's Jack Conan versus Nathan Hughes, for example. If CJ gets injured, and Tuilagi gets injured, we're probably in slightly better shape.
Yeah, because we have Bundy, like, we have those four centres, certainly three awesome centres.
Yeah.
And whereas, like, they have to play a different game if one of those guys is injured then.
Same thing if Joey Carberry comes on instead of Johnny, I think we're in better shape than if George Ford comes on instead of Farrell. Henry Slade's very important for England at the minute, isn't he? He's
some cool kicks.
Yeah.
Johnny May as well is probably the best player they had yesterday.
Johnny May is he's a strange celebration, quite an excitable celebrator.
Yeah.
He did like a wide, clumsy wave to the crowd.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Didn't he?
Yeah.
I used to panic with that those points as well. Like,
when everybody's looking at you.
Yeah.
You're like, cool.
Yeah, I scored one that try against the All Blacks we played them in Poem Park.
Oh, yeah.
Biggest game ever. Got a try. It'll be the one thing. It's the one thing that anyone ever says to me. Like,
Bono was there.
Yes, he was there.
Yeah.
He always says it to me. and I had my one moment to do something cool, like, and I just put the ball down weirdly, and then I did this little celebration, like it's like as if I was a chicken waving my little broken wing, kind of went like this. Someone gave me a high five, and I did this little pathetic high five, and then ran as quickly as I could back to my own half, ready for the next play. And I look back, I can't even watch it. It's so embarrassing.
Did you have a standard celebration? Like, do you remember Shearer would do the sort of straight arm and head down?
No, mine was very conservative. I was I would have dived sideways and just slid.
Oh yeah,
a little bit Johnny May-esque actually. And then I often got slagged because I clapped as if I was like cheering myself. Well done, Andrew. Excellent work. Do it again.
And did you ever dive? Did you ever? I mean,
I dropped the ball over the line
in an unnecessary situation where you didn't need to dive,
like an Ashton.
Yeah.
No, I've never been brave enough to do that.
When did you drop it over the line?
So against Aeroni, it was back in the day, the old Zebra
classic,
and it was
Zebra token.
I was very lucky because we were on the blue button in Sky Aeroni. No one was even watching it. And so I got away with it. No one mentioned it ever since, and I've hardly ever seen it.
So we're going over the line.
I went over one-handed to put the ball down one-handed and nudged the ball with my knee and knocked it on. I'm sorry, Andrew Trimble. Then 5 minutes later, I redeemed myself, but nearly made it worse. It was I went over, and as I was like about to dive, it was a necessary dive.
Yeah.
The ball like was dislodged by someone, like just his arm just kind of clipped the ball. It popped out, and then the ball was flying through the air, and it was like slow motion. And I just touched the ball down in time, so I nearly could have dropped the ball over the line twice. Within 5 minutes. So anyway,
my only equivalent to not knowing how to celebrate is occasionally you say something very funny, you get a round of applause, and that freaks the shit out of me because you've nothing to do. You're just sort of staring at them. So I always feel like just let's get back on track as quickly as possible.
Were you freaked out whenever I score tries and give myself a round of applause? You're like, what do I do?
I don't, so I recorded a gig recently off the sound desk, so you don't get any of the audience laughter, and it's one of the craziest things you'll ever hear, because it's just you saying jokes and silence, so it sounds like you're dying. And there's one point in it where I think I must have got a round of applause, because so I'm like and never again, and there's just silence, and I go into the mic that you can only hear on the recording.
Will we get to hear this? Are you going to release
the world
it?
Will
just
never get to hear it. David and I already dying in Belfast. The new CD.
I remember saying before, David came and spoke to us before we went on tour to South Africa.
Really?
Did a private gig for the boys.
Oh, yeah.
I remember you saying that you felt like you looked around, you cracked a joke at one stage and there was a few giggles, and then you looked around and you caught eyes with CJ.
It was one of those gigs where I don't think I'd, for about 10 years, I hadn't done a gig in front of that few people, because it's a room this size.
Yeah.
And then
you're very successful. I mean, you did.
Well, no, I'm not saying it like that. Where you are, you over the course of the half hour, you've eyeballed pretty much everyone. Yeah. So you've seen who's digging this and who is absolutely not.
Yeah.
And it's fine. It's people like different things. It's fine. But then there was some other real curveball stuff. I think it was Sean Cronin had these. They were like the, you know, Wallace and Gromit's wrong trousers. So they were some sort of physio trousers that he had on.
The compression pilot ones. Yeah.
And the thing was going like it was going like, and it would go like every 15 seconds. And I was supposed to just not read, like in comedy, you're supposed to react to ridiculous things happening. And then there was, it felt, with respect to the group, it felt a bit like doing a gig in an old folks' home. You know what I mean? Where
we did it as well. The band, we had to do it in Carton House. Declan Kidney asked us to come in and play acoustically to the lads, and like it felt like it was someone come into your classroom when you were younger and you got a half an hour off to listen to some fella talking about he used to be a drug addict or something. Now he's grand, but then you get bored. So we could see people yawning. And
I know it's hard though. I also had
sorry.
So I remember when I did that gig. they were, so it was before that South African tour. And so I was like, who was the last person? Because I know some comedians have gone in and died in front of the Irish international rugby team.
Really?
And so I was like,
name and shame.
Who was the last entertainment person? And Keith Barry had come in and guessed everyone's PIN numbers. And everyone had just been like, what? And now here is a man with a children's keyboard to entertain. Yeah, so I'm not sure CJ, you know, I'm not sure CJ will be back. But the Munster lads, because I do Dolan's in Limerick, uh-huh. there's always a strong attendance uh-huh. yeah. from Flannery and then Paul O'Connell and people like that then. Uh-huh. But, yeah, certain people, you know.
It might have been.
I remember that. It used to be our Wednesday night thing. We'd go for dinner and go see David O'Doherty once or twice a year.
Right, yeah, yeah.
It was great
yeah.
crack. I remember you gave the fist pump grab to someone in the audience. It's the first time I ever saw someone do that.
You grabbed him or you?
He went to fist pump someone in the front row because he was so close to each other.
Yeah.
And your man went to fist pump your back and you just grabbed it.
Yeah, give it a shake. I was trying to invent new greetings. So the last time I did there, so I'm so close to the audience. Mm. I cables kept getting stuck in pints and stuff. And so I appointed a man as my butler who would have to come up on stage and just move cables and stuff because the stage is about that height. And it was Duncan Casey.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, I didn't realise it was him. But he did his job with distinction.
Command Dunk.
He was enjoying it. Yeah.
Great fellow. Actually, my favourite thing you did back then was My Beefs.
Oh, there you go.
Give out about things that were pissing you off through the year. And you've kind of given us a few beefs about rugby so far. Could you do a My Beefs rugby?
I tell you what, I'm really...
The rucking thing, that annoys you.
I want to get rid of all rucks.
Yep.
I don't... Because I'd be touring in Australia and New Zealand sometimes, so I'd watch Chiefs and stuff like that. Mm. And I know people regard it as kind of unrealistic, but I do love... McKenzie when he runs towards you like that and then throws it behind his back for no seeming reason to someone steaming up.
It would have been easier just to pass normal.
Just do that. Yeah, but I do. So I do enjoy that.
You enjoy it.
So I'd
see more of that.
I'd like a return to a French vibe, but without the thuggish French pack. I tell you, my favorite rugby match of the last couple of years was the Barbarians against England. Did you see that one last year where Ashton scored 3 tries for the Barbarians in the first half?
I remember them.
Where it was this crazy Barbarian side with loads of Fijians and some Argentinians. And they just, at every possible moment, they tried to do unpredictable stuff.
Throwing American football style.
Yeah,
all of that.
Yeah. And cross kicks. And I just thought it was really interesting that if you have a super structured thing like England have, I really enjoyed seeing it getting taken apart by just a load of quite high risk stuff. But that's kind of what I want to see more of.
I suppose if lads did that every week, you'd be going, oh no, this is boring. Can we not just get back to rocks?
Yeah, but then you'd invent new cool stuff, Andrew. You know what I mean?
Innovation.
As always.
Like I've got my new kick. So this... I'm going to demonstrate this. I mean, this is going to ruin continuity. But so this is...
Our Japanese flag.
So this will be difficult in cycling shoes. Sorry, the viewers, I didn't realise.
Do you need us to do anything?
No, you're just there. I'm demoing a new kick.
Okay,
So I'm going to go out of shot here, lads. So I have a rugby ball at home, and I've been working on this. So I'll demonstrate it if Joe or the kicking coaches are watching. Mm-hmm. So what I'm going to do with this kick is I'm going to kick it here really hard so that it backspins. Mm-hmm. You know the way you can do it with a basketball?
Yep.
Like that.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm looking at kicking that way. So I'm going to try and demo it now. This usually doesn't work, so yeah, cover your eyes. Okay, I fresh aired it.
He missed the ball.
Okay, this is gonna. So this is what I mean about constant innovation. Yeah. Here we go. Ah, shit. Okay, let me do it once more.
Okay,
you can edit this out.
Oh, nice.
See?
Yeah, I got it. So you need a couch. Come back off the couch, basically.
So, it was a really beautiful display, and I hope I haven't ruined it now. So, in particular, has been coloured in.
This is because we're going to Japan next year. Yeah, if you play your cards right, we might take you with us. Lucky. I think, are we going to take a break?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I'm sorry I took up all the time demonstrating kicks and whatnot.
You're listening to Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby on Joe, together with Guinness.
Okay, welcome back to part three.
Is part two just me doing chip kicks? Because then I'm happy.
No idea. But this is the rugby roundup, the House of Rugby rugby roundup. So we do have to get through things on this. I have a list, lads.
Smash them out there.
Sean O'Brien potentially going to London Irish next season after the World Cup.
Yeah, that's all done.
will he be allowed to come back with your insider information? Will he be allowed to come back? Maybe he won't want to because he wants to elongate his career like footballers by not doing Ireland.
It's never actually a written rule like by the RFU. It's just a policy that Joe Schmidt has taken, and now that Joe Schmidt is going and Farrell's taken over, then potentially will. It's not that far, is it? It's only like over there.
Right.
It's
the
same time zone. It's Irish, London Irish.
Yeah.
So they might be like, sure, look it. He's only across the road, same time zone. So he might be allowed. I mean, he's still only 32 and he's obviously a
He's only 32
player.
And he's only played like about the same level of rugby as like a 26 or 27 year old because he's been injured so much.
Yeah,
he's got plenty of miles.
Yeah, but by that logic, because I've never played professional rugby, I'm 43. I could have a huge career in front of me. So starts here.
We'll wait and see. What else have we got? Next weekend we see the return of the Guinness Pro 14 and a break from the Guinness Six Nations. Sadly. Several Ireland players probably return to their provinces, and a big opportunity for some lads to prove a point ahead of the Italy game. Anyone you see jumping in maybe for the Italy match?
Do you think he'll mix it up?
Well, Wales made 10 changes the other day and still came out with a pretty convincing win, and I like the fact that they did that. Bit disrespectful to Italy, but feck it, they're
and
there.
I think they panicked as well, bringing Alan Wynn off, and they were going, oh geez, we're under pressure here, we might lose this.
Yeah.
So that was probably too close for them. I'd say they probably at one stage in that game were panicking, thinking we shouldn't have dropped so many guys or changed so many guys.
I think Larmer should start. I think Sean Cronin should start, and
Ross Byrne,
he's not in the squad. Carberry. No.
Who's the third at half then?
Carty.
Yeah.
Connacht.
Right. I don't think they need. Like, even that last game, they were still going full strength two games in a row and they made changes. So the changes will happen reasonably naturally. I don't think they need to force it that much.
I'd just love to see them getting a go. I'd love to see Larmer. Like Cronin or Kearney did well the weekend, but imagine Larmer getting those passes in that channel. I think he would have gone to town. Gone to Chinatown on Scotland's arse.
And so, riddle me this, wingers. Can you...
Centre
come winger, like myself. And you can't play Conway and Larmer together, can you, on the same team? Just cause, can you have two shorties in the back three? And you need a tallie then.
Conway's all right, isn't he not? Conway's he's quite good in the air as well.
Yeah, he's great.
Oh, because he can...
Yeah, I think he's injured, though.
Is he injured?
Yeah. He's out at the moment.
Conway's not that short, is he?
He'd be like same size as Earls, I'd say.
Oh, really?
Right.
Yeah.
Good question, but no, I think you could. I think against Italy, you can.
You do what you want against Italy.
poor Italy.
Sorry, Conor O'Shea.
Yeah. It's questions o'clock. You can go back to this in a second. Is Stockdale really tall?
Is he 6'4"? Pat?
Is he really fast? Is he just a large man?
I think he is very fast.
Yeah. Right. So
I don't know who that was in the backfield that he rounded.
Yeah, that looked really fast.
I don't know if he's as fast as that looked. Whoever that was, I think, was struggling.
Oh, right.
He is fast.
Okay.
Apparently, I heard there a couple of weeks ago, actually, Will Addison's faster.
What?
Yeah.
Is he?
But
we get him in. Add him to that list.
He gets mentioned all the time.
Yeah. We've got a Will Addison square jar. Yeah.
So where will we put him? Then
wherever he wants. Where do you want to play, man?
Wow, that's like Neymar. Yeah, just do whatever you want. Yeah, positionally, just float around the pitch.
He's a natural 13. Ringrose might be out for the Italy game. I'd maybe give him a break anyway.
Right.
I'd love to see Farrell in 12. He's big enough. Like, he's a natural 13, he says, but he's a huge man. Stick him in 12, he'd do just as much damage. Yeah. And is still a bit of a ball player. Stick Addison in 13.
Okay.
Completely agree.
Okay, let's do that then.
Sold. Let's do that.
Should we give him a call now, tell him they're picked?
Yeah. Carberry in as well, Sean Cronin. Yeah.
Can we play Stockdale at fullback? What do you think about that?
Yes, I think he'd be fine.
Because he's tall, so he can get up for the high things.
Oh, yeah, so dangerous in the wing. You don't want to change him at all. You just want to be like...
But I sort of liked Huguet at fullback for France. You know, like, is that not a bit of a myth in this day and age that, like, fullbacks are fullbacks and wingers are wingers?
I think so. I think it's strange that fullbacks and 13s kind of interchange more readily.
Yeah.
But I think it's a more similar position, 15 and wing. I think so.
But under the system we're playing, like that thing where the fullback needs to know where, like you really need to know where to stand, don't you? So that, I guess that would be the danger then.
Yeah, Jacob's played 15 for Ulster a few times.
Has he, right?
It's gone okay, but as you say, he tears it up on the wing and don't change it if it's working so well.
Yeah, I wouldn't even be talking to him if I was a coach. I would just avoid him.
Yeah, yeah. Don't wreck it. Joe, don't wreck it.
He's like coming to try and meet you for a chat and just run away from all the time.
Was he trash talking? Did you see a little bit of that in the match? I saw him. I wouldn't have had him down as a trash talker.
I've seen him trash talk a bit, actually, in games, yeah.
Oh, wow.
You know, he was just trash talking. Johnny and Ryan Wilson were going at each other. Did you see that?
Really?
Yeah. Ryan Wilson went around past him a couple times, clipped him.
I saw that.
A few times. And then after Murray's try, then Johnny was running back, and they were having more words with each other.
What would you say if you're... what's winger trash talk? I'm going to run around you the next time.
I'm gonna get you. I'm faster than you. Really creative stuff like that.
I'm going to pee in your kit bag. That sort of thing. Post game. I'm coming off on 60 minutes and I'm going for a Waz in your gear.
What other things will we round up? Under 20s had another great win. Beat Scotland 24-5. The future of Irish rugby is looking good.
Sorry, I'm talking too much, but Harry Byrne. So he's the new out half, Ross Byrne's brother. Yeah. Now, this has happened in... my older brother was an amazing keeper in football. Mm-hmm. And I remember just a rumour getting round, you want to see his little brother. And there was no basis in it whatsoever. Like, people look like Dan Carter, oh, you want to see his little brother. And then, you know what I mean? Like, it's happened with Mackenzie. He's got a brother who's not quite as good as Mackenzie, but was definitely talked up as that, like the Barretts or whatever. But people seem to be saying that he is really good.
Yeah, Joe Schmidt was raving about him already, I think.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, someone said that he almost bypassed talking about Ross to talk about Harry, like at a function or something. Someone was that recently.
Let's get Harry in. Put him on that team. Yeah.
That would have happened with Simon Best as well. Geez, you want to see his younger brother. Yeah. But there's three of them is the thing. So there's the middle brother. Not him. not him. Rory. No offense. I forgot his name. Okay.
You do it. Oh, the poor fella.
Yeah. It's a shame, isn't it?
It is.
Black sheep.
Yeah. There's always one. Women did very well. Beat Scotland.
Women everywhere.
Women in general.
They smashed them.
They smashed them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Leah Lyons, which I thought was interesting. She went from... tight head last week to starting as a hooker, or a hooker last week and started as tight head this week, which is pretty impressive, isn't it? I've scored a decent try as well.
Interruption. So in the commentary to that match, I've heard this a few times, they say Peter O'Mahony played on the wing for Cork Constitution. Did he really play on the wing, or was that just once ever?
I'd say like maybe someone went off injured and he had to go on the wing.
But he wasn't
like
a winger.
He played on the wing for Ireland against Italy.
I think Rory Best once played in the centre or something for the last 2 minutes against someone.
Rory kicked the goals when he was in school.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Because he was bigger than everyone else and just could kick it farther.
Yeah, I'm kicking. But I want to kick. I'm a 10, Rory.
Wow. So, okay, fine.
Yeah. Yeah. What brought that up?
The moving position. I like a bit of positional movement. I also like dual sports people. You know what I mean? Like people used to say about Ian Madigan, he was apparently amazing at tennis. Like genuinely amazing. Yeah. I enjoy, like myself, with the cycling. And I'm good at pitch and putt. Do you know the 30-yard golf?
Uh-huh.
I've never really played big golf, but the one yeah, on land that's been zoned for building houses on.
Would suit pitch and putt for some reason.
You can do anything in that
yeah.
Outfit. Neil Doak played cricket for Ireland.
Shit. Oh. Larmour played hockey. Larmour was apparently like the next great hockey player.
Cool, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. My mum. What are we talking about? My mum played tennis and hockey for Ireland.
Really?
Yeah, but it's skipped a generation. So it's like red hair. It's possible my children, whenever they arrive, maybe they're here, who knows? I just haven't met them yet. Yeah. But maybe one of them will be kick-ass then at something then. Yeah.
A ginger.
Yeah, and my mum's ginger as well. Yeah. So, yeah, a ginger athlete. We'll look out for the next red-haired kid and just, yeah. That go full Earl Woods on he or she.
Yeah, that's what I'd be doing. I'd be pushing them down the golf route, or what else can you make? Poker? Poker.
Push them down the poker route. That's irresponsible parenting.
Darts is pretty easy. Would you be worried about your kid playing rugby now with all the...
My wee fella's a bit of a softie.
Is he?
If I'm honest, I think my daughter.
Daughter could.
Yeah, she bullies him.
Yeah.
She's his younger daughter. Yeah. Kicks his head in, and he's like, "Mommy, Molly's annoying me. Shut up, son. Stand up for yourself."
Good honor. That's the way I like to see it.
Yeah.
Okay. We asked you to vote for your Guinness Maid of Moore Player of the Weekend. Here are your nominees. Hat-trick hero, Johnny May.
Am I on there?
We can put you on there.
Thank you. It's a bit late for
late edition. DOD. Very impressive. Owen Farrell, England's women's winger, Jess Breach, and Ireland flanker, Peter O'Mahony. We give out a set of Paula Collins' teeth for this win, if you didn't know. So you could be in. Would you like a set of Paula Collins' teeth? What would you do with them?
Yeah, maybe knuckle dusters or something. Yeah. You know what I mean? You could have them over and bop. And then from the imprint, when the forensics people got on it, they think Paul O'Connell had bit the person.
Someone.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'd be like, I would imagine if the top jaw in one hand and the bottom jaw, and you'd have to punch him simultaneously. Two fists.
Clean boys. Well, the winner is actually Johnny May.
Yeah. Fair
so
enough.
We'll see how he celebrates.
There's something of the, I know you're affiliated with the other, the House of Rugby, the inferior one.
Mm-hmm.
But there is something of, I mean, what's the nice way of putting it, of the blonde English back player. Mm-hmm. That Johnny May is about the only one left. You know what I mean? Over time, you can build up a whole load of players who maybe defence wasn't their thing, mm-hmm. but were excellent at finishing.
Give us a few more.
Simpson Daniel would be one. Who's the guy who went to France then? The winger.
12 Trees is ill.
Yeah, 12 Trees is a classic. Yeah. See, I don't.
15 that went to France. No,
exactly. I think he was really good. No, who was the guy who was on the Lions in about.
Ballshaw.
Yeah. A great tradition of players who do not like it up them.
No.
Is what I'm going to say. Yeah. They do not like it up them. So, that would be my tactic then.
Yeah.
Although I do kind of like him because, he's. And also I like that he keeps Ashton out. Just how furious Ashton would be. Although Jack Noel. Yeah, that's weird. The Jack Noel.
I think he's brilliant. I think he's class, yeah.
Yeah.
They're just giving him a rest, I'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have so many good backs. Sorry, from a few weeks ago. When we were like, none of them are any good.
Yeah.
Now they're like, oh, they might drop Elliot Daly and play Jack Noel. Having Elliot Daly as a impact sub, you know, because Slade's playing amazing. Oh, my goodness, lads.
Terrifying.
We're in trouble, aren't we?
I know.
I just have a question from the floor as well. Mm-hmm.
to the man in the blue polo.
The Eddie Jones scummy Irish, did you have a hand in this? The motivation for Ireland?
I was the person who found the Eddie Jones scummy Irish video, which you may remember from this time last year when we were really good and they were really bad.
Yeah.
What was interesting about it was, like, I saw some criticism. Well, what was funny about it was I was at quite a low point in my personal life, so I was going down YouTube holes of finding lucrative corporate speaking events of athletes who were really bad at it, and there's some really good footballer ones. And then I clicked on an Eddie Jones Mitsubishi event, and like I heard someone in the media when it came out was like, "Oh, this is a disgrace! You can't have a conversation in a rugby clubhouse and someone videos and putting the like." No, this was like a 3-camera corporate event that he was paid loads of money for and was reading off autocue. And I don't know if that bit was on his autocue, but the first thing was he said Wales was a shithole.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, I was watching for about, it was in Japan, so he was talking about how he had turned around Japanese rugby. So it was quite interesting from them losing to Wales 17-0 or whatever to beating South Africa. So I was watching it, and then he said, like, "Oh yeah, and we're beaten by Wales, which none of you will know, but it's a shithole beside England." And I was like, hang on, I'm going to keep watching this for another minute. And then he talked about, because he'd only been beaten once at that point as England manager by the scummy Irish. So I sent it to second captains then, and I have an office with them in their building. So I was like, I wasn't like, let's release this to the media. I was just like, this is quite inappropriate.
Yeah.
And it was because I'd found it at the week of the match, just by total coincidence. And I was on tour in England.
Is that the week of the Irish match?
Yeah. And it was on the front of four of the newspapers.
Wow.
It was newspapers spinning towards the camera. Suddenly it was everywhere. So it wasn't a malicious plan by the deep state or whatever.
It probably wasn't planned at all, because you'd be tempted to imagine that's you sitting in the back dressed as a Japanese man, wired up.
Wearing a wire, definitely.
You just went on YouTube.
It was right there. And it had like 43 hits or something. I think that's what made me. Joe, sometimes you go down a YouTube hole and it gets deeper and deeper, and you start looking at videos that no one's ever looked at before.
Single figure special.
Like a really good one is if your friend is called Gerald. Like, generally, you just put "Happy Birthday, Gerald" into YouTube, and you'll find like a 3-year-old child in Alaska singing "Happy Birthday, Gerald" to their dad, Gerald. And then you send that. So, like, I enjoy going down those sort of holes. And this was, this came from that then. So it wasn't part of a big dirty plan or anything. It happened the way happened then.
We'll be careful what we say on here, just in case you come after us.
And now that you're a fan of the show, if you make any similar discoveries in the future, would you send it to us?
You don't give me an office that I don't
or anything.
Pay any rent.
We don't give you any money. Office.
I've been offered this, but I consider this an insult to the people of Japan. So I'm going to leave that here.
Would you like to take part in the game that Andrew plays? It's called Balderdash. Remember Balderdash?
Yeah,
it's,
for sure.
It's not dissimilar from Would I Lie to You?
Okay.
So we decided we would try and find some...
I love that Andrew's book that he writes stuff in seems to be like a medieval scroll. It's like something...
Yeah, so we thought actually to increase the rugby content, we might provide some insight into what players of yesteryear. So we found out a bit of insight about Dennis Hickey. Last week we found out about Christophe Lamaison.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah. So anyway... Johnny May scored a hat-trick of the weekend, so I was looking back to see what other Irish hat-trickery there has been.
Oh, great.
In the past. So obviously Craig Gilroy against Italy a couple of years ago, CJ Stander, same game. So Dricko's famous one against France in 2000. He also scored a hat-trick against Scotland at home, 2002. But a lesser-known Rob Henderson scored a hat-trick against Italy away from home.
So I thought I would give you a few options as to what Rob Henderson's doing now. Great.
Okay, yeah.
Great.
Okay, so is Rob Henderson making a successful living as an extra featuring regularly in the dirty brothel scenes in Game of Thrones?
Wow. Yeah, that's...
Or, that's A.
Hey.
Or B, did Rob Henderson pick up a nasty dose of chronic fatigue whilst interrailing through South Sudan on a gap year after his rugby career? Rob then visited a witch doctor who sent him for an MRI. Rob felt much better after the scan. However, the witch doctor became belligerent and evasive when Rob asked to see her medical license. She then reported him to the town council when he inquired if she would accept Apple Pay as payment. The council seized his assets, and then shortly after, he sadly died after that.
Oh, my
that's
goodness.
That's amazing.
Yeah, no,
not that he died.
No.
That's a shame.
An amazing story.
That's a shame, that bit.
Yeah.
Or C, does he work in real estate recruitment for an executive search company?
No way. I mean... It's like people have appeared in backgrounds in Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. Ed Sheeran.
Yes.
He's in one of them. Mm-hmm. Snow Patrol, or possibly the drummer from Coldplay. I think the Snow Patrol lads have appeared in the background in Game of Thrones. I think so.
Really? I thought the Ed Sheeran one was a bit gimmicky.
Oh, it was terrible.
Wasn't it?
Absolutely appalling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just the ginger lad sitting at a fire.
Yeah. Was he singing a song?
Totally unrelated to the story.
Oh, yeah. Really?
It was like as squeezed if he demanded it or something like that. Which I don't know if he did, but it seems.
Yeah. I'm very successful. I demand being in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Which is probably what Rob Henderson did as well.
And I would demand to be in the brothel scene as well. That would be crack, wouldn't it? He chose well.
Yeah.
If that's what he did.
No, I'm going to scratch that from the list. Mm-hmm. The second one, I mean, Apple Pay, you know what I mean? That's what pushed it over the edge for me.
Yeah.
That I wouldn't expect places to have Apple Pay, you know, even in, you know, London or Dublin or Belfast.
Where was he? Sudan?
Yes, he was in Sudan. And it was 2005.
I mean, that is a real
that
giveaway.
Was the giveaway.
Yeah, I knew that was far fetched. I just wanted to put it in there anyway.
Because he was still playing for Munster in 2005.
Was he right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, sorry. I've made an awful. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you're right. He's a real estate.
So we'll go real estate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's correct.
I can confirm.
Is he the man who finds out if you've got an Irish granny? Is that Rob Henderson?
He was doing that for a while.
Oh, wow.
Kevin Maggs was doing that for a while.
Something about the centres.
Really?
Yeah. I think that was him. Pat, do you know?
Yeah, Kevin Maggs was doing it all right.
Kevin Maggs.
Yeah.
It's an actual job that someone has.
Yeah, like a scout almost.
Or maybe
like,
we're doing the same thing. Maybe we're both getting mixed up with Kevin Maggs. Kevin Maggs definitely did it.
Right, yeah.
And there was someone else.
Field and Philip Danner. It's all the centres of the 90s and zeros are sent off around the world asking people if they've got Irish grannies.
Yeah.
Well, I could do that.
I would imagine you'd find a link or find something in a single figure hit on YouTube, and that would lead you down another hole, and you discover the next Will Addison.
I was the only person in my class in school that didn't have everyone. All my grandparents were born in, not even just in Ireland, in Dublin as well. So I couldn't even play for a different inter-county team. You know? Yeah.
Did you trace your roots or whatever? Have you done that where you can send off your
space? It seems so dodgy. Like a company you've never heard of. Oh, here's my credit card details, all of my personal details, and here's some of my DNA as well. Well, this is going to end well when I'm accused of a murder in South Sudan in a few months' time.
Yeah, someone said to me it's a way that they're trying to take all your information and keep it for 30 years until technology catches up and they can, I don't know, directly market stuff to you according to your whatever your they can take from your blood sample, something like that.
Build a robot of you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah,
really?
That's
mental, isn't it?
Yeah,
and they're just trying to hook you in by going, "Hey, do you want to know who your granny was?"
Why not? Sure.
So what's the worst thing that happens?
Jesus. Danger. All right, our favourite part. We've got Ask HOR. We put out
one.
Pick one. Okay, we put out a shout for your Twitter questions using the hashtag Ask HOR. And here are some of your best ones. Pick one. You don't want a rugby one, do you? Jesus.
No. I'll deal with it.
If the lads in the Irish Turk, if the lads in the Irish team were cars, what type of cars would they be? Mr. Furlong as the old type Land Rover, perhaps. Look like a Land Rover. There's a great Twitter page that's cars that look like people that you need to go on. It is the funniest thing I've ever seen. I'll cry laughing at it.
I mean, Rory Best is a Nissan Cube. Do you know one of those? Like, I mean, is that offensive? But it is the car I would think of if I was trying to get rid of a boner. But it's the least sexy invention ever. Then what's Dev Toner? That I guess he's like a truck, you know, a big high note,
one of those
a truck,
one of those crane things. Yeah, what are they called? The cherry pickers.
Yeah. I guess that's what he is then.
Yeah, fast people, sports car. I prefer more their faces looking like cars.
Yeah,
I'm trying to look at either of you now and see what kind of car you look like.
But I mean, you're from it. You know what my face looks like.
Yeah,
you don't have to.
I know. Yeah, so I can look away. Yeah. I got nothing. We'll ask one more question. With such a low percent of Irish rugby supporters having played the game, how rugby knowledgeable are they? Does this reduce during international windows?
He's never played the game, and he knows more than us.
Oh, come on!
So I think we're fine.
I mean, it must be annoying, like the way in the. Isn't it the problem though that if it's a week to week team like the Premiership, the story can change pretty quickly. Mm. Whereas because rugby matches, there's fewer of them and they're spaced further apart. A lot of people convinced themselves because it was all everyone talked about. We're the best team, not only in the world but ever.
Yeah.
You know, like cancel the World Cup, just hand it to us.
Yeah.
And then whereas people forget that like we were fairly crap for some of the Wales and the Scotland match last year. We were sort of rocky again for some of the France match as well. Yeah. Am I being terribly unfair there?
Yeah.
So like we're back now, you know, it's a dose of realism I think in the whole thing. But I don't know if it's to do with people not knowing enough about rugby, but I think it's just everyone likes talking about it, which is a good sign.
Any kind of balanced opinion is boring. No one wants to write that or listen to that. So everything's either we're the best team ever or we're in turmoil.
That's probably it then.
It's one or the other.
Yeah,
isn't it?
It's like in comedy, there's only two reviews you get, which is at the start, you get this person you've never heard of is brilliant. And then as you go on, you get everyone thinks this person is good. They're actually shit. You know what I mean? And they're the ones that get all the hits and all of that then. So, yeah, it's probably a degree of that to it. Yeah, I mean, no one wants... I've been very balanced here with my incredible opinions.
Yeah. Speaking of comedy, where can we go and see you over the next few months?
I'm doing an Irish tour for the next while.
Brilliant.
So around here and then going to Australia. I'd say some people in Australia... Listen to this.
They do? Yeah,
they definitely do.
Yeah.
They'll be in Melbourne and Sydney and Brisbane and all that and come back through America and do some stuff with Flight of the Conchords and
go to
yes.
Do bits and pieces, guys. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Mm.
Jesus. When you're in Australia, maybe call into Harvey Norman, see if you can get a
mattress.
You didn't go to Mattress Mick, did you?
For your mattress.
No, Mattress Mick.
Nothing about, like, the Mattress Mick brand I enjoy, but nothing about it makes me think, oh, this is the sort of mattress that'll be really good for my back. It'll be like, if I had a few cans, I could probably sleep on this bed. That's very disrespectful to Mattress Mick.
He'd be delighted with the mention, you know.
Sorry, Mattress Mick.
I'd be sorry, Mattress Mick. Okay, that's pretty much it from us. Thank you so much for coming on, man.
I'll try the
one more chip again to finish.
Here we go. This is definitely going to happen.
That's what you want to tell me.
On that note, David Adair,
I'm twisting my knee. First ever injury on the rest of rugby. Stay down there. Your recovery skins.
Back to the soup kitchen. Back to the here. Wave the flag. Wave the flag. This has been Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby here on Joe together with Guinness. and David. See you next week. Party on.
You were listening to Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby on Joe, together with Guinness. Drink responsibly. Visit drinkaware.ie for the facts.